Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
When it comes to hiring, don't go searching for the one. Just meet your match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
In a new interview, Senator Bernie Sanders jokingly challenged President Trump to a one-mile run. In other words, a suicide pact.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. Today, you'll hear Seth's interview with actor Dax Shepard, who sticks around for a few more questions backstage exclusively for this podcast. But first, a closer look.
The president mounted an appallingly racist attack on four Democratic women of color in Congress. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. It's been obvious from the very first moment he stepped onto the political stage that Donald Trump is a racist. And that racism is at the core of his political ideology. It's not a side dish, it's the main course. Every day he serves up a steaming hot entree of racism and then washes it down with a side of
McDonald's, Wendy's, and Burger King's with some pizza.
Trump launched his political career by questioning the legitimacy of the first black president, began his campaign by claiming Mexico was sending criminals and rapists to the U.S., and said a judge who was overseeing a lawsuit against him in 2016 shouldn't be allowed to oversee the case because of his ethnicity.
Now, this judge is of Mexican heritage. I'm building a wall, okay? I'm building a wall.
But you're invoking his race when talking about whether or not he can do his job.
Jake, I'm building a wall, okay? I'm building a wall.
If you are saying he can't do his job because of his race, is that not the definition of racism?
No, I don't think so at all.
No?
No, he's proud of his heritage. I respect him for that.
You're saying he can't do his job because of it?
Look, he's proud of his heritage, okay? I'm building a wall. This judge is giving us unfair rulings. Now I say why. Well, I'm building a wall.
Okay, but why won't you tell us what you're building? He keeps saying it over and over like he's wearing a wire and calling for backup. I'm building a wall. I'm building a wall. Wall, Steve, get me out of here. So Trump launched a racist attack on a judge by calling him unqualified to rule in a case because of his ethnicity. And by the way, in case you're somehow still curious about Donald Trump's legal bona fides, here's what he had to say on Friday about Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report, which listed 10 possible instances of obstruction of justice. Remember, 10. 10. Somehow everyone's forgotten about that because it was like 50 scandals ago. We all have such scandal fatigue. At this point, Trump could streak naked across the White House lawn with his head stuck in a KFC bucket screaming, I did it! I broke all the laws! And 2 days later, we'd all be scratching our heads going, oh yeah, right, that happened. So Trump was asked about the Mueller report on Friday, and he tried to claim that Article 2 of the Constitution gives him the power to basically do whatever he wants. Now remember, this is the same guy who said a judge wasn't qualified to rule on a case because of that judge's ethnicity. By comparison, here's Trump talking about Article 2 of the Constitution of the United States.
Number one, there's no crime. And how do you obstruct when there's no crime? Also, take a look at one other thing. It's a thing called Article 2. Nobody ever mentions Article 2. It gives me all of these rights at a level that nobody has ever seen before. We don't even talk about Article 2.
What do you mean nobody has ever seen before? It was written over 200 years ago. Just because you've never seen it before doesn't mean nobody's ever seen it before.
I just saw this great little independent film. No one's ever seen it before. It's called The Lion King. It's about a good guy named Scar, but, oh, he's got a real nephew who tries to backstab him. But I like Scar's... I haven't finished it. It's 2 hours long. That's too long. But I like Scar's chances. I think it's going to end well for Scar.
Also, his interpretation of Article 2 is obviously wrong, which is not surprising since he apparently just discovered it.
And here's another thing I just learned. Did you know we had a president who was 100 feet tall? Made of stone.
What we saw in that interview was the core of Trump's racist worldview, and we saw it yet again on Sunday when Trump launched a stunningly racist attack on four progressive women of color in Congress.
The president of the United States told progressive Democratic women of color in Congress to go back to the crime-infested places from which they came. Trump writing this. So interesting to see progressive Democrat congresswomen who originally came from countries whose governments are a complete and total catastrophe, the worst, most corrupt and inept anywhere in the world, if they even have a functioning government at all, now loudly and viciously telling the people of the United States, the greatest and most powerful nation on earth, how our government is to be run. Why don't they go back and help fix the totally broken and crime-infested places from which they came, then come back and show us how it is done. These places need your help badly. You can't leave fast enough. I'm sure that Nancy Pelosi would be very happy to quickly work out free travel arrangements.
Okay, first of all, there's no acceptable word for this other than racist, period. Not racially charged or racially tinged, or as the New York Times put it, Trump's racially infused politics, like it's some kind of fancy drink at a Williamsburg cocktail bar. Ooh, honey, their Cosmo is racially infused. Second, this is beside the point, but three of the congresswomen you're attacking were born here, and they're all American citizens. So if you're asking them to fix the totally broken, crime-infested governments of their home countries, they're trying. Third, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter whether they were born here or not. They're Americans. This is their country. And they're treating it with a lot more respect and devotion than the racist gargoyle sits around tweeting from the back nine of his chintzy golf course. And then today, Trump reeled off yet another racist tirade at a White House event called the Made in America Product Showcase. First, he took questions from reporters and defended his tweets when asked if they were racist.
Not at all.
Do you think those Democratic congresswomen are not American?
Somebody has a problem with our country. If somebody doesn't want to be in our country, they should leave.
I think it's very fitting that he's standing next to a boat because he always looks like he just fell off the side of a booze cruise and got dragged back onto deck by a lifeguard. Then Trump moved over to the podium where he continued his tirade and doubled down on those racist tweets.
If you're not happy in the U.S., if you're complaining all the time, very simply, you can leave. You can leave right now. Come back if you want. Don't come back. It's okay, too. But if you're not happy, you can leave.
I'm sorry, you're accusing someone else of complaining. All you do is complain. You spent the 8 years of Obama's presidency lying and complaining about everything. In fact, at one point, you actually bragged about the fact that you were great at whining.
I am the most fabulous whiner. I do whine because I want to win. And I'm not happy if
I'm
not winning.
Are whiners winners?
And I am a whiner. And I'm a whiner, and I keep whining and whining until I win.
That is a terrible Dr. Seuss book.
I keep whining and whining until I'm a winner. And then I go home and have pizza for dinner.
Now, Trump's attack on four progressive women of color wasn't just blatantly and appallingly racist. It's also a classic racist trope. It's the kind of taunt or insult people of color have been subjected to for years, as Senator Kamala Harris explained.
It is absolutely racist and un-American. And it is an old trope. Go back to where you came from. That, you know, you might hear it on the street, but you should never hear that from the president of the United States.
And she's right. Trump shouldn't be president. At best, he should be on the street selling fake Rolexes in Times Square and yelling at tourists for not buying them. Oh, what? You've never heard of a Polex? What we're seeing now, once again, is the core of Trump's racist ideology and his policy agenda. His administration is inflicting cruelty on migrants through inhumane detention centers, family separation, and he spent his career questioning the legitimacy of everyone from the first black president to judges to members of Congress. What more do you need to impeach this guy? Congress should just say to him,
"You can leave. You can leave right now."
This has been A Closer Look. Is a very funny actor you know from TV series such as Parenthood and Bless This Mess and films such as Chips and Hit and Run. He hosts the podcast Armchair Expert as well as the new game show Spin the Wheel. Let's take a look.
My wife refers to me as a Stark in the streets and a wildling in the sheets. I'm a big Game of Thrones fan. Do you watch Game of Thrones?
To be honest, I've never watched it.
Okay, you are the one American who's seen it. Okay. Yeah. Well, we found you. That's good.
Please welcome back to the show, Dax Shepard, everybody. Welcome back.
Oh, thank you for having me.
The last time I saw you, which was wonderful, I was a guest on your podcast.
Yes.
Armchair Expert, which is a fantastic podcast.
You're in a tiny group of people who I came to you.
Yes.
And you deserve it.
You thank
deserve
you very
it.
Much. Yes. By that, I did not have to go record anywhere. You came here. We recorded in my office, and it was a delight.
Did you feel comfortable?
I did. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Because generally when you're interviewing someone, you've got to kind of get them comfortable with the space.
Yes.
Not you. I just came directly to the bed in your office. You stayed supine.
Yeah. You fed me grapes, which I need within every 10 minutes.
Your assistant got those knots out of your feet, and we just let the tape roll. And people love it.
Do you, you're very good at it. Do you enjoy doing a podcast?
I love it.
Yeah.
It's sincerely my favorite thing. I assume you enjoy doing this.
Yeah.
There's something just, I'm genuinely very interested in human beings. We're all weird and interesting, and I like to try to find out what the weirdest part of you is. And it's so much fun.
So the show,
yes.
Do you feel like the podcast helped? Was that what people said? Hey, this would be a wonderful guy to talk to people in this environment, too.
Well, what's very weird about, first of all, can we recognize, do you even see me in this photo?
It is.
Guys, have you ever seen a more preposterously sized object in your life?
You know, and it's such a weird picture to be showing. You guys provided the picture, and I am like, gosh, I feel like they're really underselling how important Dax is to the show.
Well, I think what's very clear is that in the mind of Fox, the star is the wheel.
Yeah.
That's abundantly clear from this photo. But
back of that person's head is five times bigger than you are.
Absolutely. And when I first stepped out on stage with this Goliath, I mean, this reminds me of the World's Fair in Chicago, the very first Ferris wheel with train cars on it. It's similar size. And when I stepped out, I looked at it, and I was like, I will certainly be killed by this contraption.
Yeah.
And what a great comedic death.
Yes.
It's like it will be a Buster Keaton gag gone wrong eventually.
My question is, if it started to fall over, do you think you'd even bother trying to run, or would you know there's no way you'd get out of the fall zone?
Well, because it is a perfect circle, I imagine I'd run that way thinking it was shortest, realizing, no, that's all equidistance, and I'd probably get confused like a fly. If you want to kill a fly, they have eyes all around their heads. You have to confuse them. But to your original question, yes. 26 minutes later, yes.
Yeah.
My podcast played a role in me getting this because the man who invented this, the crazy genius Andrew Glassman, some of the younger gals in his office suggested you should get Dax to host this thing because they liked the podcast.
That's great.
He thought I was Zach Braff. Doesn't matter. Here we are.
Here we are.
But he came over.
I mean, by the way, in this photo, you might as well be.
Yeah. I've never looked better. He came over and he showed me this like animated thing on a computer and explained it to me. And I kept thinking, well, the wheel won't be that big. They've like, that's, you know, this is some kind of scaling issue with the software. And in fact, it's that big.
It is that big.
Yeah.
One of your contestants in that clip, you were talking about Game of Thrones. I think you and I are both very sad it's over. I know you and Kristen, your wife, watch it together.
Yeah.
Are you guys sad that it's over?
Well, it is the second longest relationship I've had.
Yeah.
Besides Kristen.
Yeah.
I've been with that program for 10 years. And she and I have been with it together. And I gotta say, I think it was the foundation of our friendship and marriage. Yeah. Because we're struggling now.
Yeah,
we're
struggling.
We're watching anything and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is very, a lot. It really makes you reassess exactly how good your marriage was without
a show. Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, it can really get you through a couple hours together.
Yeah.
Plus, we dress up and everything. All in all, we're probably in it for 3-4 hours on a Sunday night.
Sure, so, sure.
Yeah, we definitely are mourning the loss of it. But we did this. Have you watched Fleabag?
The best.
Oh, my gosh, you guys. Whoever has not.
It's so good.
I'm like, yeah, you're watching the show. She's absolutely brilliant. Yep. And then you find out, oh, she created the show. That's crazy impressive. Yep. Then you find out, oh, she also created Killing Eve.
Yeah.
And at that point, you hate her guts.
Yes. Yeah. You're like, love her, love her, love her. Yes. How dare you?
I'm insignificant. I suck. I'm not creative.
Also, there's the nice thing about telling people about Fleabag, I found, is when you tell people about a show that is 2 seasons, but they're each 6 episodes in 30 minutes. It's not like, you know what you need to watch?
24.
Game of Thrones.
24. Yeah, either way. Yeah.
24. 9 seasons, 24 episodes each.
Hour long each. You're looking at 650 hours of quality programming. You call me in 2023 and tell me what you thought of that show. You're not going to regret it.
You did a live podcast in Austin.
Yes, and you
went down there with the family? Did the whole family go?
Yes, I love Austin. I think it's my second favorite city in the country. Have you been down there?
It's great.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. It's liberal hillbillies, so it's a bullseye for me.
It's right up your alley.
Yeah. Guys in trucks, but they also want to get the emissions down on those trucks, you know? But, we Airbnb'd a house on Lake Austin, and priority number one for me was a pontoon boat so we could go explore the lake. Well, they don't rent pontoon boats there for any extended period of time, so I thought, well, a lot of people follow me on Twitter. I'll just tweet, hey, has anyone got a pontoon boat they want to rent me? I'll pay top dollar. Let's party. I get a response. This guy goes, hey, man, I love taking care of people when they come to Austin. I'll get you sorted. And I'm like, oh, wow. We exchange emails. This is so exciting. We get down there. I start talking to the guy. Yes, I'll be over around noon. I pick up the boat at 8. I'm like, you pick up the boat at 8 from where? Anyways, he comes over. I notice very quickly, this is a brand new pontoon boat. Uh-huh. It is 3 hours old.
Okay.
I start panicking. Like, oh, no, what has this nice human being done? Have they gone and bought me a pontoon boat? I just immediately was like, the ethics were real rough.
Yeah.
I realized I should have never put that out there to Twitter. Anyways, he gets there and he says, I was looking at my other boat today. Doesn't run that well. Took it in to see what they'd give me for it. They traded me straight up for the pontoon. Now I got a brand new pontoon boat. This is great. Meanwhile, all the women there are so distracted by what a 10 this guy is.
Oh, he's okay.
He's gorgeous. He also brought a paddleboard to get himself back to his house. And all the women that were in our group stood on the dock and watched him paddle for 25 minutes, just staring. I Google the guy, was so relieved. His name is Houston Street, and he was a professional baseball player.
Gotcha.
He's loaded. Everything's good.
Okay, good.
Yeah. I was real nervous someone like Second Mortgage to make Princess Anna happy on her vacation, but we're all good. Everything's good. He's still enjoying the boat today. I watched his Instagram photos.
All right, thank God.
Yeah. Thank you, Houston.
Yes, bullet dodged, and congrats on the show and the podcast, and thanks so much
thank
for being
you.
Here. Thank
you.
Always appreciate it. Dax Shepard, everybody, spin the wheel. Airs on Thursdays at 9 p.m. on Fox. We'll be right back for more Late Night.
I'm Elizabeth. I'm the research manager here at Late Night, and we're here with Dax Shepard behind the scenes.
Did you say Elizabeth?
Yes.
Okay, fantastic. Elizabeth, my microphone smells like vanilla.
Oh.
I don't know who it's been in or where it was used to stir something, maybe, but it's got a great smell.
That's good. That's better than the opposite.
We're off to a great start.
So I wanted to ask, your podcast has become such a hit over the past year and a half, but is it true that after being named 2018's most popular nude podcast on iTunes, that you're still recording in an attic in a construction site?
That's absolutely true. In fact, it'll eventually come down as we build a new place for the podcast. And Monica and I are both very nervous that we're going to ruin the juju. It's occurred to us to try to reassemble the attic within the new place, which probably is going to be cost prohibitive.
So have you had any guests show up and gone to the wrong place?
Oh, 90% of the guests go to the wrong place. They go to turn in and they think it can't possibly be at this construction site. Dr. Phil went to someone else's house entirely, like a block down the street, and some woman opened her door and Dr. Phil was there ready to talk.
That's got to be a great surprise.
I was so happy for her.
Yeah. So I also heard that your bathroom is pretty open to the whole room.
That's right. It's an exhibition style bathroom, the way kitchens are exhibition style at fancy restaurants.
Oh, okay.
Very similar to that.
Was that a choice or?
Nope. We inherited the bad design. And it cannot be fixed. It can't be fixed. The angle of the roof precludes us from getting a sliding pocket door. And there's no door shaped the way that it can't happen. About 10% of them are thrilled to use it. We step out for 90%, but we have had many guests that use it, you know, while we're in the room. And that's kind of, for us, a litmus test of who's a great human being.
Got it.
Yeah.
So one thing
I want to be clear, we don't pressure them to.
Okay.
But it's by their own choice. It's at their disposal. Yep. If they want to take us up on it, door's open.
Literally.
Metaphorically, because there is no door.
Mm.
Yeah.
So something else I really enjoy about your podcast is that you guys fact check it afterwards.
Oh, uh-huh.
How did that idea come about?
Well, I mean, just from the original concept of me being an armchair expert, i.e. someone who spouts a lot of information and has done zero research, we knew that I would be regularly erring in my memory of whatever college class I had 19 years ago. So we just thought it was imperative that someone be looking out for this, because I am loosey-goosey with the facts. I distribute a lot of them per episode.
Just like to get them out, and then someone else goes back. And
well, Monica, my host, my co-host, she checks. I got to say, not to pat myself on the back, I'm only wrong about 10% of the time, which I think is pretty darn good. I mean, I'm machine gunning data.
Just
maybe it's 20% wrong. Anyways, it's definitely above 50%, which I'm proud of.
And speaking of percentages, I know that 23andMe is one of your sponsors.
Oh, that you better
and
believe it.
You took a 23andMe, so did you find out your percentage of what you are?
I did. I'm a little disappointed. This topic always makes Monica very nervous, because I say that I was only 99% pure European. And the word pure is very triggering for her, until she got hers back and she realized she was 100% pure Indian. So once she leapt ahead of me and the purity off, now she embraces it.
And how did you two originally meet?
She started babysitting for us about 5 years ago. And then that grew into her kind of assisting Kristen. And then we discovered she was a really great writer. So then she started writing for Kristen. And then she and I have been arguing since we met 5 years ago. And we thought, oh, we like to argue. Maybe we should do it publicly.
It's great.
Yeah.
So thanks so much for joining us.
It was a pleasure.
Yeah.
Great. A nice soft out. Good night, everybody.
Late Night with Seth Meyers airs weeknights on NBC at 12:35, 11:35 Central. Original music on the Late Night podcast is by the HE Band. Don't forget to follow the handle Late Night Seth on social media and tell your friends to subscribe to the Late Night podcast wherever they get their podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by the effortlessly scrumptious bite of Skinny Pop Popcorn. Imagine this: perfectly popped, endlessly delicious kernels, a symphony of just three simple ingredients, popcorn, sunflower oil, and a sprinkle of salt. No compromise, just pure snacking freedom. And hey, if you're up for a twist, dive into flavors like zesty white cheddar to sweet and salty kettle. Every bite's a delight, light and oh so tasty. Shop Skinny Pop now.